She wanted a bad boy.
What were we on parole for?
Residential burglary.
He wanted her money.
He asked me to borrow the $200.
She said you could borrow the money and you would have to pay it back.
But not in cash.
How an ex-lover paid his debt.
The sex was good.
I'm going to throw you out.
Judge Judy.
That pretty much cleared up all the money issue.
Very interesting.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 26-year-old receptionist Trinity Kiger is suing her ex-boyfriend, 24-year-old climate control installer Michael Hunter, for an unpaid loan to move into a sober living house. Michael says he paid back the loan by doing chores.
Order, all rise.
Your Honor, this is case number 7 on the calendar in the matter of Kiger versus Hunter.
Thank you.
Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Ms. Kiger, according to your complaint, while you were in a relationship with the defendant, you made a loan to him, a couple of $100s.
Yes.
When did you make him this loan and what for?
On January 30th, I received my income tax return. And he was at my house. He had gotten kicked out of his residential drug facility. And after a week of being at my house, he had the option from his parole officer to either go back to the treatment facility or go into clean and sober living. And so he asked me to borrow the $200.
Well, what's the difference between a drug program and the clean and sober living?
He had more freedom in Pancho Villa than he would in the residential treatment facility.
What were you on parole for?
Residential burglary.
What was the condition of your parole?
That I'd have to stay in either a residential treatment program or a sober living home.
So why didn't you stay in the residential drug program?
Because I got kicked out of the residential
why?
Program. For sneaking out to see her.
And for drinking. Don't let him tell you that. It's for drinking also.
No, Your Honor. That's a lie right there. You can call the program and ask. There's no, I've never given a dirty test since I've been out of prison.
They don't give urine tests for alcohol.
Yes, they do, ma'am. You can call my parole officer and ask them. I cannot drink or be around alcohol, and they test me for alcohol at the parole office and at the program.
Mike, that's why you're drunk at my house moving me.
Okay, did she give you $200?
Yes, Your Honor. She offered me $200.
Okay, tell me about the $200. You want to go into this?
Offered? I have two kids.
Listen to me. When I look in your direction, that's when you talk.
All right.
And I'm looking at his direction. Now tell me under what circumstances you say she gave you the $200.
She gave me the $200 knowing that I just got out of prison.
Don't tell me what knowing. I don't want to hear knowing.
Okay, she
what did you say to her? What did she say to you? You said to her, I need $200 in order to go into this other program, and I don't have it.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. And she said to you?
She said to me that you can borrow the $200, but I would have to help her pay it back. She knew that I did not have a job.
Just don't tell me what she knew.
Okay.
She said you would help her pay it back. Pay it back to whom?
Pay it back to her.
Now, all right, let's make this simple, Mr. Hunter. She said that you could borrow the money, but that you would have to pay it back.
Most definitely.
Am I looking in your direction?
Looking
in your direction?
No.
Don't speak unless I look in your direction. She said you could borrow the money.
Correct.
And you would have to pay it back.
Not correct.
That's what you just told me.
I have to pay it back, but not in cash. I was to help her move, watch her kids, pick her kids up at school several times, which I did, take her friend, which is over there to Fairfield, to see a friend of hers that's in the county jail, fix her car, and that pretty much cleared up all the money issue.
When did you help her move?
I forget the exact date that she moved. You remember the exact date?
No, don't ask her any questions.
Okay.
If I want to know from her, I'd ask her.
I forget the exact date.
Before
that she
or after she gave you the $200?
This was before she moved.
Just a second. Listen to me very carefully, because I know that you have a little trouble understanding, sir. Did you help her move before or after she gave you the $200?
I just answered your question the same
that
way.
That she
yes.
moved before?
She gave me the money before I helped her move. That's exactly what I said. She gave me the money, and then I helped her move.
When did you go into this new program?
After she moved. I don't have the exact date, Your Honor.
I know the exact date.
Give me the date.
Here, I cashed my check on my income tax check on 1/30/01. That is the day that he moved into Pancho Villa. I moved on February 2nd. That was not the agreement.
Just a second. What date did he move into the facility?
January 30th.
The same day that you gave him the money?
I took him there.
So you were living in the program on the day she moved?
No, the program that I was at, I didn't have to stay there every day. I can go out, come and go pretty much as I want.
Did he help you move?
Yes, he did help me.
Okay, tell me what he did.
He helped take two loads of stuff to my house.
Okay, what else did you do for her?
I put all of her kids' beds together, picked her kids up from school. She actually had put my name down at her kids' school as a person to be able to pick up her kids in emergency.
Okay.
Yeah.
And picked up her kids several times. And also took her friend down to Fairfield. The lady sitting over there took her friend down to Fairfield to the county jail to see her friend.
She is lying.
Okay. What did I tell you?
Okay.
There was a period of time when you lived with the plaintiff, is that right?
Correct.
When was that?
That was in the month of January.
The entire month of January?
No.
I'm going to throw you out. Do you understand?
All right.
Next time, we're not talking about a lot of money. It would be very easy for me to just to say goodbye to you. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
During the entire month of January?
No, only about a week and a half to 2 weeks.
Let's say 2 weeks. And you slept there?
Correct.
You ate there?
Actually, I had some money of my own. I still have my gate money from when I left school. I went and bought my own food.
How much money?
They gave me $200 gate money.
You mean when they threw you out of the program, they gave you
$200? No, when they kicked me out of prison.
They didn't kick you out of prison.
Yeah, I mean, when I got released from prison, I'm sorry.
You wanted to stay in prison? Huh?
No.
You wanted to stay in prison?
No.
How much money did you give her towards rent in those 2 weeks?
During those 2 weeks, I helped her clean up around the house because I was buying my own food and buying food for them.
Answer my question, sir. I want the question answered. How much money did you give her towards rent when you were living there?
Nothing.
When you went to pick up her children on those couple of occasions, did you use her car?
Correct.
Did you ever use her car for your own personal business?
No, I did not.
Did he ever use your car for his own personal
business? Yes, he did.
Of course he did.
Yes, he did.
Where did he go?
He went to the parole officer.
Of course he did. He had to go in and check in periodically with the parole officer. And how did you get there, sir?
I would take the bus.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, no.
I would hop on BART and take BART and catch the 80 bus.
Of course you did.
To Vallejo.
Are you telling me, sir, that you never took her car to go and visit your parole officer?
No, I did not. I got bus vouchers for my parole officer to use.
Really?
Yes.
Very interesting.
She wouldn't allow me to use her car for personal purposes.
Really? That doesn't sound like it was very generous of her.
Well, there's a lot of things that don't sound very generous
about her. So why didn't you let her stay there for 2 weeks for?
Well, as she says, the sex was good, pretty much, is why she let me stay there. And
really?
It was. I was down 22 months, and I stayed there for the same reason.
Really? So you had it all stored up? Right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, Your Honor.
Not.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Trinity Kiger says ex-boyfriend Michael Hunter owes her for an unpaid loan and the return of two CDs.
Not.
And also, can I be allowed to say something about her character?
No, I don't want to hear anything about her character.
I believe it's very important to deal with this case. Something that you can verify by calling my parole officer and find out.
I'll hear you.
Okay. The night that we broke up, she came down and had my old roommate let both of these two in. She came in and punched my new girlfriend in the nose, smacked me around 10 times. The only reason I didn't call the police and press charges is because she had threatened to say that I had beat her up, put bruises on her, and filed a domestic violence case against me.
Now, this is very interesting. You're supposed to be in a
sober,
clean, sober program, and you're living with a new girlfriend.
No.
How did that come about?
My new girlfriend was over visiting.
Visiting where?
At the sober living home.
Okay. When? Give me the date.
My parole officer would have the date because I went
I'm asking you
day.
The date.
I told her I don't have
how
the exact
much
date.
After? How much after she gave you the $200?
This was probably about a month and a half, 2 months.
Well, if she gave you the money, sir, sometime in, let's say, the end of January.
I believe sometime in March.
Well, that's just a few weeks afterwards.
No,
that you had a new girlfriend.
About, like I said,
4 weeks,
a month,
5 weeks?
About, yeah. I'd say about 6 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks.
And when did you get the new girlfriend?
I started a job working at Walmart, and I found a woman there that was actually treated me a lot better.
When did you start the job at Walmart?
I started it when I first got there to that program, so it was in February. I started that there.
And so you found somebody else right away?
Mm-hmm. No, like I said, it was about 5 to 6 weeks that I actually started talking.
You're a sleazy character. Pay her back a $200 judgment for the plaintiff. That's all.
Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
when she came down and smacked me around in the face 10 times and hit my girlfriend in the nose, everything right then and there, any chances of me ever paying her back would have been out.
And he thought because he was, you know, having sex with me that that was gonna cure the problem, and it didn't.
And now the next case.
All parties on Mills versus Trelfa. Step forward, please.
23-year-old customer service rep Jason Mills is suing 38-year-old business owner Karen Trelfa for damage to his snowmobile resulting from a collision. Karen is countersuing for damage to her snowmobile, claiming the accident was Jason's fault.
Mr. Mills, you were on an outing and you were
snowmobiling.
Snowmobiling. And it is your claim that the defendant, who was also snowmobiling, had an accident and plowed into your snowmobile, which was in a stationary position.
Yes, Your Honor.
The defendant says that you and your party created a dangerous situation. She's an experienced snowmobiler, and she wants you to pay for the damage to her snowmobile, right?
Correct.
Okay, so tell me when this happened.
Well, on February 11th, 2001, we had rented a snowmobile. We were sledding with four total sleds, six individuals on the sleds. We had stopped on the far right of the trail, off of the groomed path, under the powder. I saw the defendant and her husband, whose sled was in front of hers, coming at us at a high rate of speed. Within a milliseconds of his passing through his powder, I saw the defendant's sled sliding toward us. She made impact with us. I was thrown from the sled, landed on my neck.
You were sitting on the sled.
I was standing directly next to my sled. I was the only person standing at the time. Everyone else was still sitting on their sleds facing forward. I was thrown up, landed on my neck. Anita was thrown from the sled and landed in a snowbank. The impact was severe enough to throw her boot from her body. If you look where the other sleds were parked, Mrs. Trelfa ended up toward the first and second sled. She made impact at the rear of our sled, slid down the trail. Now, immediately after, Mrs. Trelfa did come and immediately check to see if we were okay. Mr. Trelfa, of course, was worried about the condition of the sled.
What did he say?
Well, he acknowledged that her sled was pretty much trashed. Our sled, the damage was pretty severe. The frame itself was bent. I believe when you see the photographs, the frame on her sled is severely damaged. The top.
You have photographs?
Yes, I do.
Would
you like to see them,
please?
That is her sled. This is my sled.
Is hers.
The red colored portion of her sled was actually detached upon impact. It's just laying on.
Step up, sir. When did you realize that your wife had been in an accident?
After coming to a stop, after avoiding these people, there was people in snowmobiles parked in the trail, and I had to actually go around them on the left,
yes.
Up on the berm off the groomed section to go around them, and that is where I came to a stop.
What was the reason, sir, that you stopped your snowmobile?
Because I realized that there was an accident waiting to happen, an accident in progress, and my wife was probably getting hurt.
Well, how could you tell that was an accident in progress?
I turned around.
Sit down, sir. Okay, let me hear your version of this accident.
We were traveling from this direction,
mm-hmm.
down the trail.
Mm-hmm.
When I came over the hill, I noticed four snowmobiles parked along the right-hand side. There were people on this side and people on this side of the trail. My husband went to the left, which is off the trail, this line.
You see stupid written here?
No, I don't, ma'am.
Then you explain to me what possible rationale there would be to park the snowmobiles on one side and then for the people to be standing on the other side, not near their snowmobiles. You explain that to me.
Well, it does not practice safe snowmobiling procedure.
No, of course it wouldn't. It would practice somebody being on drugs. Leave their snowmobiles on one side. Now I could see if you put them near where their snowmobiles were and you say that they were on the trail. But why would somebody get off their snowmobile, leave it on one side of the road, and walk over to the other side of the road? Why would somebody do that?
I don't know why they chose to. I would assume that they were taking photographs.
But your husband made it.
Which,
your husband made it.
Yes, he did. And when he went to this side, this person here ran across the front of the trail, which is where I was headed.
Go ahead.
I couldn't go right behind him. I would have gone, be going too fast, and I would have ended up possibly hitting him because he was in some very deep snow and had stopped very quickly. So I had tried to get between this person and this snowmobile. He must have startled this person, and they ran across the trail. So I grabbed my handlebars and turned them sideways in order to turn my snowmobile so that I either flipped it before I got to this person, or at least did not hit this person nose first and really throw them.
Your Honor, I don't know how she could claim that she saw people on the far left side of the trail, especially since I am the only person who was standing next to a sled at the time of impact.
Where were the other people?
They were still on their sleds.
According to your answer, you've been snowmobiling for 30 years, is that right?
12 years.
12 years.
We do almost 3,000 miles a winter, so almost 30,000 miles.
And is this area that you were snowmobiling in well-traveled?
Yes.
A lot of people there?
Yes.
Sometimes experienced?
Yes.
Sometimes not?
Yes.
Their bikes were stationary when you hit them?
Yes.
You're responsible?
No, ma'am.
Period. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, even if I believe you, and I don't believe a lot of what you told me, nobody would leave their snowmobile in the middle of the road and go
they were
and take
not
pictures.
In the middle.
In the middle of the road and go take pictures.
They were not in the middle.
Right. So if they were not in the middle and you are a 12-year experienced veteran, you're supposed to be cautious.
And I was.
You are supposed to be cautious. No, if you were cautious, you wouldn't hit them.
I was 100 feet from the line of sight. They were in a very limited visibility area.
Then you're supposed to be more careful.
I was traveling at a very safe rate of speed.
Well, how could you be traveling at a safe rate of speed causing this damage?
They trapped the area and enclosed it.
I don't believe that that's true. I don't believe that they created the kind of hazardous situation that you attribute to them. Maybe some of these sleds weren't totally off the road. Maybe some of them were hanging over a little bit. But you've got a counterclaim. You want them to pay for your sled. You hit them. And you don't know who it was who ran across the road. If you claim somebody ran across the road creating a hazardous situation, it certainly wasn't him. He got thrown from his bike.
It was her.
Well, you mean you remember that?
Yes. And if he was the only one that was standing next to the trail, how did she get between me and their snowmobile that was to the right of me?
I don't know. What?
Now, is she claiming that I was on the other side of this trail and running across?
Yes.
Well, if that is the case, how was I thrown from my snowmobile and into the snowbank?
Were you on the snowmobile with him?
Yes, I was.
Okay, and he was standing?
Yes.
And you were sitting on
the
side?
I was sitting on the back of the sled.
I don't know how she can claim that. Where were the rest of the people?
They were all on their sleds, sitting on their sleds.
Sounds more right to me. You hit his snowmobile while his snowmobile was in a stationary position, period. His snowmobile, according to you, was well on the side of this road, and there was plenty of room for you to pass. Your husband had passed. There was plenty of room
except
for you
for
to pass.
Except for the people stepped out into the trail.
Listen, that happens. I don't believe it was her. She says she was sitting on the snowmobile. It's possible that somebody else ran out. You have to anticipate that. That's not his job to anticipate it. That's your job to anticipate it because you're moving.
I agree.
Good. Then you have to pay for his damage. Judgment for the plaintiff for $1,245, which is what it's going to take to fix the snowmobile. Your counterclaim's dismissed. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
They behaved in a manner where they felt that they were the only one out there.
I do admit being a novice rider, but I don't believe it had any bearing as to the incident when we're off the trail.
For people to not practice safe procedures and then blame it on other people.
She was traveling at a very high speed, and that's what caused my boots to fly off, and I was pretty shook up, and I don't think I'll be going snowmobiling for a while.
They basically told some falsehoods.